With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Drug prices keep rising and the drug companies are raising them. But they're saying don't blame us. We're not the bad guy. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. A report from the National Association of Home Builders casts a shadow on the U.S. housing market, which is struggling to regain its footing. The report, which cites a survey of 17,000 adults in the fourth quarter of last year, indicates that consumers are finding it more difficult to buy a home. The report says at the end of 2017, 27% of prospective home buyers felt the process of buying a house would get easier in the next 12 months. By the end of 2018, that number had dropped to 19%. And over that time period, the share of consumers who say they intended to buy a house in the next year fell from 24% to 13%. And whether buyers are millennials, Generation X, or baby boomers, about 75% in each age group said affordability is an issue, and they can only afford half of the homes available in their markets. And amid the controversy surrounding Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, the Wall Street Journal Management and Careers Bureau takes a look at the importance of executives, not just politicians, examining an archive of their lives in high school yearbooks. A public relations executive tells the Journal, as a best practice, companies should be doing background checks on all senior level and board hires, digging in 25 years or more, both virtually and physically, including, as he put it, quote, high school and college activities, fraternities, nicknames, everything. Drug prices keep going up, but the word from pharmaceutical companies is don't blame us. So who's to blame? We've got Wall Street Journal Pharmaceuticals reporter Jared Hopkins on the line with us for some answers. So Jared, the drug companies have often said in the past they needed to raise prices for research and development, but now many of them are pointing the finger elsewhere.
They basically have flipped the script, so to speak, and they are saying that they don't actually benefit much from the list price increases, and that it's their net prices that are suffering, and they are blaming pharmacy benefit managers, which, among other things, negotiate drug prices in secret and often determine which drugs might be accessible on formularies for patients.
And the drug companies often offset the price increases with rebates and discounts, but those discounts aren't always getting to the consumer.
Right. So it's unclear as to whether or not discounts are ultimately passed through to consumers. It's something that the pharmacy benefit managers say is up to plans and up to PBMs, but they say that it often does happen. The branded drug makers say that the discounts are not passed along to the patients enough, and that there are too many incentives in the drug supply chain throwing all this off.
You know, critics of the drug industry, as you point out in your story, don't entirely buy the story from the drug companies that the middleman is to blame here. They say even a small price increase can generate substantial revenues for the companies.
Some companies, such as AbbVie, which makes rheumatoid arthritis treatment Humira, which is the top-selling drug in the world, it can still generate sizable sales and generate enough gains through this net price increase. It raised the price by less than 10% in January, but the company has said that both volume and pricing fueled its earnings in the fourth quarter. But aside from AbbVie, not every company we know necessarily about growing through price and volume. And that's because while companies are disclosing their average net price, it's often across the entirety of the portfolio of the drugs and not on an individual drug basis.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And the Trump administration's tried to get involved here and limit the rebates to middlemen as a way to bring prices to consumers down.
Yeah, so the Trump administration recently has proposed a rule that would limit the rebates paid to pharmacy benefit managers and the middlemen that essentially would limit the rebate in government programs. It's significant partly because the government programs are so wide, so large, that they often can be followed by private plans, private insurance. So the drug industry is supportive of this. Its main lobbying group is enthusiastically supporting it. Many of the other players in healthcare are skeptical and want to see it play out or are opposed to it.
And at least one executive in the drug industry feels that the U.S. should change the federal laws to improve transparency here, which might drive competition and ultimately help out the people.
Yeah, so to Takeda Pharmaceutical CEO Christoph Weber, he has said that the U.S. should change federal laws to improve transparency on rebates and discounts. He wasn't very specific with me going beyond that, but you know, that does sort of add some fuel to this conversation. And his hope is that something might come of that. Takeda, for what it's worth, is recently jumped significantly in size after one of the biggest pharmaceutical mergers ever, after its acquisition of Shire. So that company is a big player, much bigger player than it was in the past now, with both in government drug plans as well as in the private sector.
In your Wall Street Journal story, you mentioned copay accumulator programs being a part of this process. Just briefly explain to us what that is.
Copay accumulator programs health plans use to fight back on copay assistance that drug makers provide to customers. And where they come into play is because payers and insurance companies limit the assistance, or try to limit the assistance, through these accumulator programs towards a patient's deductible. And then as a result, the drug makers increase their aid to keep people onto the drug. That often goes against their net price. And so that's why the net price continues to decline because of these copay accumulators. Basically, these copay accumulator programs are used by the insurance agency, used by the insurance industry, the payer industry, to fight back on this sort of assistance, and drug makers have to increase their aid to keep the customers on the drug.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Jared Hopkins reporting from a healthcare conference for us, and he's good enough to take a few minutes out of his time to break it all down for us and put this into simple terms for us. Jared, thanks for coming on the line with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's Your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.